welcome to the Career Ready Podcast. Learn about resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn, interviewing, and all things you need to be career ready at the Career Services Center at College of DuPage. I'm one of your hosts, Pierre Michaels. If you're a regular listener, you may be expecting a conversation about entrepreneurship. The episode is still coming, but we had to push it back a little bit for later in the season. Instead, for today's episode, we're going to be breaking down cover letters.
And I'm your other co-host for this episode, Michelle Malik. I'm going to start our episode today by talking about a resource called VMOC. In episode 38, we talked about ATS, or applicant tracking software, and how to beat it. Just to recap for those of you who haven't listened to the episode yet, once you submit your application online, most companies are going to use applicant tracking software to scan your resume, and that's going to detect formatting issues, and it also looks for keywords in your resume that actually match the job description. So the system is great because it saves hiring managers some time because it finds the best matches for their current job or internship postings without them having to look at a ton of applications. Ever wonder how ATS works? We've got the perfect resource to help you with that, and it's called VMOC Smart Resume. It's a resume platform you can use to receive instant, personalized AI feedback on your resume based on criteria that's gathered from employers and global best practices. VMOC helps you familiarize yourself with what ATS looks like and what it prefers in a resume, as well as what it suggests that you avoid. You can then take this feedback and apply it to your resume, and you may have a better chance of beating the ATS when you apply to a job or an internship. For listeners who are current COD students, you are able to use VMOC Smart Resume for free. You'll just have to submit a service request form on our website, which is cod.edu/career-services. Once you've let our office know that you're interested, we'll put you in the VMOC system and you'll be placed into a benchmark, which is based on what you're studying at College of DuPage. Being put into this benchmark allows you to receive personalized feedback based on your program of study. For those of you who aren't current COD students, you'll want to refer to VMOC's website for sign-up instructions. I want to dive into some of the VMOC features in case anybody does go ahead and use it. So once you upload your resume, you're going to receive an overall score that's broken down into three separate areas or categories. The first area is impact. So this is telling you the impact your resume has and how well you're doing describing yourself as a professional. The second area VMOC focuses on is presentation. So this section is focusing on how your resume is formatted, and it's the easiest way, I would think, to gain points back. So this also allows you to get an idea of the type of formatting ATS is preferred to. For example, it'll look at the number of pages you have on a resume, if essential sections or headings are included. It'll check the colors, the font colors of your resume too. Do you have black font? Do you have multiple colors in your resume? It'll also check for font size, images, and spell check too. The last category it looks at is competencies. So this section is looking for certain skills to be represented in your resume. So Pierre, anything else to add to that?
Not so much about your description of VMOC. I think you're doing a good job of capturing some of these things that it is identifying. And I just want to emphasize that point of how this ties back into that ATS conversation that we've had in the previous episode and that you recapped at the start of today, because VMOC is acting like an ATS. It is reading through the resume, it's using its own AI process to identify content and to provide that insight. And it's great that the College of DuPage students here get the free access to this. But if you are not a student with College of DuPage, you can be accessing that VMOC through their commercial account. You will have to pay to utilize it. But if you're a student at some other school, I would reach out to your Career Services Center to see if they have a comparable platform to help you work on and revise your resume.
Thanks for sharing those perspectives, Pierre. And I didn't even think that if a student is going to another, you know, university or college, they may actually have VMOC too. So I'm glad you referred them to that resource as well. So a few other notes about VMOC. If you are using our system, if you're a COD student, we also have an editor feature within VMOC. So you can use this to edit your resume, or if you don't have a resume, you can use it, the system to create one too. So I really like that feature. Another feature within VMOC, if you're a COD student, is you have 10 uploads per academic year. So we really encourage COD students using the platform to apply the VMOC feedback first to their resume before re-uploading a new resume or rescoring their resume. There's also a network feedback feature in the system too. So that means a career specialist from the Career Services Center can actually add their own feedback to your resume. We can comment on your bullet points, your formatting, and then send you additional feedback that way. And lastly, we're going to be talking about cover letters in this podcast episode. But just to clarify, the system doesn't evaluate or look over cover letters. So make sure to only upload a PDF version of your resume. As you can see, VMOC is a really useful tool that can help you not only anticipate how the ATS is going to evaluate your resume, but also you can use the feedback to improve the overall quality of your professional document too.
Michelle, thank you so much for running through VMOC. There's so much there. I hope the listeners hearing you talk about it are seeing that it's not just to help us better understand the ATS, but it is really here to help us enhance our resume and be a centralized point for lots of feedback, not just that AI feedback, but it's great that that network feedback exists so you can actually have someone reviewing it, but you still get all your feedback in one place. And of course, that editor and making those revisions or even creating your resume there in the platform are great resources I hope our students take advantage of. So now let's go ahead and talk a little bit about cover letters. And these resumes that we've always talk about are extremely important professional documents, but they're not the only professional documents that we need to be utilizing. And as we're gaining a better understanding of an ATS, what we need to realize is from the employer perspective, it's not only reading the resume. We emphasize the resume a lot, but it's looking at that entire application that is being submitted and all those different documents that are being attached and uploaded. So, as we are applying the cover letter or anything else that we are sharing with the employer, is going to be processed through this ATS. And we really want to be including more information, more documents in that application to help us stand out best we can. And from my own experience, I don't know, Michelle, maybe you could think of sometimes where this came up to a job seeker maybe has mentioned, hey, I don't need a cover letter, or maybe they're asking, are cover letters really necessary?
Oh yeah, I've definitely had clients ask that, and we always encourage a cover letter, which I'm sure you'll talk more about.
Right. I don't know where they're coming from when they say it's not necessary to have it, or where they're getting some of that encouragement to not worry about a cover letter. Maybe it's just because there is so much emphasis on a resume, but that cover letter is still a very helpful document. It helps us best present ourselves to the employer and to really help us stand out through that application process. A lot of this season of the Career Ready podcast, we're going to be focusing on professional documents. Again, a lot of that will be resumes, but cover letters is another important document, and having a good cover letter will really help us enhance the value of our resume. But before I start breaking down the cover letter and how it can help better present ourselves and better present these things that will be found on our resume as well, I just want to take a step back and help explain why the cover letter is so important. The cover letter, historically, where this name is coming from, would cover your application. It would be the top document in that physical set of documents that you would be sharing with the employer. But now, as we move forward and we're using these electronic portals, it's not going to be sitting there on the top, but it may actually be labeled as like a supplemental document in the application process. And some employers may not even ask for you to submit that employer, but you want to be sharing a cover letter with employers unless they are specifically saying, please, no cover letters. That's the only time you wouldn't share a cover letter. Sometimes they do that. Most of the time, they'll just, have it be like an optional field, and you want to take advantage of it. You want to be including your cover letter because this will best help you stand out as you're applying. So, Michelle, let's just take a hypothetical situation here. Let's say you
Okay.
and I are applying, right? Our resume, our application overall, pretty similar. That employer is having a difficult decision between the two of us. But one of us includes a cover letter to really promote our skill sets and better showcase what we have to offer. Who do you think they're going to want to connect with?
Probably the person who has the cover letter.
Right. Why would they like that person more?
Probably because they're taking the time to connect the dots between their resume and the cover letter, and they're providing more information to the employer than what's already been written in their resume. So they're really just selling themselves even more if they have that cover letter.
Yeah, right. There's two things there. They're taking the time, right? So they're putting in more effort into the application, but they're also communicating more skill sets, more value that they have to offer. So it's really just including that cover letter is a simple way to show that you have more to offer that employer and that you are really motivated, interested in this opportunity. So now that we've kind of ran through a little bit of the importance of the cover letter, we're going to talk about how we can approach the cover letter and what we want to be doing as we are writing the letter and how to best stand out. Throughout this podcast, through our office, we talk a lot about professional branding. Professional branding being that overall image that we're showcasing, what can we contribute to that employer? And the cover letter helps us present this brand. So again, this is more of why that is a valuable document. It's making us more memorable. It's helping our brand be reinforced. Just like a company doesn't come up with a slogan or a logo and only put it on one thing, they put it on everything. So to have another document showcasing your skill sets is really representing to that employer what you have to offer. It's reinforcing that core brand, your professional brand, that you're representing what you have to contribute to that team. So that cover letter is a great document to supplement your resume to reinforce the content that will be included on your resume. And we'll do deeper dives into that resume in future episodes. We've talked more about resumes in previous episodes, right? It's a lot of, it's an important topic, but the cover letters are also important. But a lot of times when we're making a resume, we're talking about being very concise with information and often using bullets to help organize information and present it in a quick way. Your resume and cover letter are drastically different, though, because your resume is telling a type of story, but your cover letter really lets you tell a narrative. Your cover letter is letting you select a few core things and really emphasize it. It's being able to tell a story about how you can support that employer and how you can move forward. Michelle, just on a high level comparison of resumes and cover letters, anything you have to add?
I think you covered it perfectly. We just always say you want to connect the dots and, just like your resume, you do want to customize that cover letter. So if you're using keywords in your resume, also use keywords in that cover letter too, because that's going to stand out to an employer.
Yeah, right. Those keywords being on both documents will reinforce your professional brand. So we're kind of talking high level. Let's break it down now. Let's really look at what we would be including on that cover letter, the format of that. So we're going to be talking about it in four main areas. We're going to have our header, we're going to have an introduction, we're going to have a body, and then we're going to have the ending or the closing of our cover letter. And that header, it's going to have our name and contact information. This information is going to be formatted similar to the way it is on your resume. They should mirror each other. Think of it as your own professional header. And then under that, you'll have a blank line, and then you'll have the date that you're submitting the cover letter. You'll have another blank line, and then you'll be listing off the employer's information. That list should be targeting that employer. It's going to have a person's name if we know a person. If we don't know a person, then as a generic placeholder, we could put in hiring manager. Beneath that, we'll have the department, especially when it's a larger organization. Maybe we would skip this on some cover letters depending on where we're applying to. Then you want to have the company name followed by their mailing address. The format that we're following for this is a professional letter. So that is your header, and then we can get into that introduction piece. That introduction piece, it's going to be a few blank lines beneath all that employer information, and then it's going to be dear. You're going to use that same name that you used on that list. And if you don't know that list, you can use hiring manager. Don't do whom it may concern. That was a very old practice that's outdated. Do not do that on your cover letter. And then you'll jump into an actual paragraph. So you'll have that introduction, that greeting, and then you'll get into a paragraph. And this is normally one paragraph, but it may be a little bit longer depending on your writing style and what you want to be presenting. If you have a transition story that may need a little bit more explanation, this would go in up here to start things off. But what we really want to be doing in this introduction is making a direct connection to the opportunity. This means being able to connect to the company's name, the position that you're applying for. I would also recommend that you identify how you found the position. And to me, this only comes across in two ways. Either you'll name drop someone that referred you to the position, and that referral should have some leverage. You're not just going to put in some random name. It's going to be someone that can be an internal advocate or a mutual networking connection to really help you stand out. If you don't have that name you can name drop, then I'd recommend that you put it on the company, say that you found it on the company's website. Now, you may not have found it on the company's website. Maybe you were using a large job board and that motivated you to then go to the website. Well, that's fine, right? You now went to their website and you're applying there. So you always want to go to that company's website. It sounds a whole lot better to say that you found it on their website than you found it on this big job board, right? Create a more direct connection to that employer. In addition to all this information with the introduction, I would also strongly recommend you research the company. You're identifying their mission statement, their vision statement, something that they stand for, and you're going to incorporate that into your introduction and how that aligns with what you want to be doing professionally. You want to be making that direct connection based off of your research and how you can be supporting this company or how you want to be part of this company as they move forward. And to wrap up the introduction, you want to hit at some of the core qualifications that they're including in that job description. Maybe this is your degree, maybe this is just years of background that you have, but what makes you a good candidate for the position? And we use that as we transition to the body where we'll expand on this. So, Michelle, do you have anything to add about the introduction portion of the cover letter?
Yeah, I don't think I have any additional information to add. I think you really talked about how to have a strong introduction section or how to open up your cover letter in a way where you're appealing to the employer and kind of summarizing your skills. So I wanted to also add on top of that that I empathize with listeners. I think it can be really hard to write a cover letter at first. I know when I was a student, I was really confused about what to kind of include in a cover letter. I wasn't sure what experiences to talk about, skills to mention, and even just how to start it and end it. It wasn't until I met with someone in career services as a student that I was able to write a cover letter that really stood out. I just want to let the listeners know that it takes time and it takes practice. And hopefully, with all of these tips and tricks that we're sharing with you, it will become easier to write your cover letter over time.
Yeah, because we're giving you some very, very specific things to personalize it with. Hopefully, that will make at least writing that introduction a little bit easier. Because if you're just kind of checking off those boxes, you're incorporating all these things, it doesn't come across as just checking off the boxes. It's coming across as a very personalized document. And then that body is where we can be focused in more. On ourselves and what we would have to offer that employer. So the body of your cover letter, this will be one or two paragraphs, maybe three. Again, just kind of depending on your writing style, what you want to be emphasizing, but we don't want to overdo it. We want to make sure that we are focused in on the things that we can contribute to the employer. So even though this is about us, it's with that employer in mind. So going through this process and using that job description as our guideline, being able to focus in on what that job description is outlining, finding two or three fundamental skill sets within that, and then emphasizing through stories how we use those skill sets. As I said earlier, our cover letter is more of a narrative. So here we're being able to say that I was on the job, I was doing this. We're really providing a story. We're not using bullets. Bullets should never be showing up in a cover letter. That's what the resume is for. So as we present ourselves through the body, the employer should have a better understanding of our background, how we were involved in the past, how we've demonstrated our abilities. And as we're presenting it, we're going to be drawing those connections to that job description. So then we're really standing out to the needs of that employer. And I know speaking with job seekers, some of them will come up with a general template for their cover letter and then make minor additions. If you want to use that as a starting point, I'm not going to say not to, but remember that would just be a starting point. What you really want to do is go through your cover letter and tie in the specific things to the job description that you can be promoting that you want to make sure that employer is aware of. Michelle, do you have anything else to add about the body of a cover letter?
I will just add that when I speak with clients and students, oftentimes they do miss the story part, right? So what I see often is they take the information from their resume and they just put it on the cover letter or put it in the cover letter instead of expanding with that story. And I think that story is very helpful because it allows the employer to understand why you're qualified. And again, that's the space that you can use to start to sell yourself again to the employer. So that's what I wanted to add about the body paragraphs. But I think you did a wonderful job describing what should go in them.
Yeah, right. So it's meant to supplement the resume, but not duplicate that content. So now that we've gone through that process, let's get into this last section here. And this is the closing. The closing of the cover letter is pretty simple. Don't overthink it. The important thing is we're still personalizing the document. Include the company name again, include the position you're applying to. Express your appreciation for their attention, thank them for their consideration of you. And I always recommend that you put a call to action to that next step. Say something like, I look forward to discussing this more in an interview. I've seen it at times where people have said, I will contact you to schedule an interview. Don't do that. You're overstepping your bounds. It's up to that employer to be reaching out to be scheduling. They still make the decisions, but by you expressing your desire to move forward, you're showing your confidence and you're showing that you'll follow their lead, but you're set for the next step. After that, you'll just use the word sincerely, and then you can type in your name. Historically, you would be including a signature. That's back when it was a physical document. Now I wouldn't worry about that so much. If you wanted to insert an image of your signature, you could do that. Just make sure that you do format it with alternate text so then those screen readers can correctly identify what that is there. And also, historically, people would have included the word enclosed at the very bottom of the cover letter. And this was to indicate that there was also a resume document with it. In this digital day and age, I wouldn't worry about including that. All your documents will be traveling together. They'll be getting it in, that bigger zip file or whatever way they're receiving it. So again, I wouldn't worry about including that as the end there. So again, conclusion, pretty simple. Don't overthink it. And as we go through the cover letter, as I mentioned earlier, we're formatting this like a business letter, a professional business letter. So that means it's going to be completely single spaced. We're not going to be indenting starts of paragraphs. Instead, we'll just have blank lines between paragraphs. And once you have it fully formatted, all your content there, it should never exceed one page. Your cover letter should only fit on one page. Your resume, one page, maybe two, depending on your amount of experience. Cover letter, never more than one. As we mentioned at the beginning, that ATS, a very important factor, your cover letter can be processed by that ATS as well. So you want to be making sure that it's formatted in a way you have that core content that you want that ATS to be aware of why you're a good candidate for that position to help you advance. So it is reinforcing what you would be including on your resume, what you're including on rest of that application. So just make sure that you're approaching that cover letter to best present your information, keeping it formatted correctly, not just for the ATS to read it, but also so it provides a professional visual appeal as the reviewer of your application is going through it. Michelle, anything else you want to add about cover letters?
I just think with cover letters, again, they're kind of tricky to write. So if you feel like you're stuck, definitely reach out to Career Services if you are a student, alumni, or community member. We'd love to not only answer your questions on the podcast about cover letters, but we can also see you to talk more about them. Or if you go to a different school or university, you could also try their services too.
Yeah, or just really reach out to anyone, right? We talk about that with the resume, having multiple eyes on it. Try to get multiple eyes on your cover letter as well. Just having different feedback on it from different perspectives can be really valuable.
Well, thank you so much, Pierre, for sharing all you had to share about cover letters. I think it was a great introduction, and we really learned how valuable they can be and what to include in them. We want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today, too. We hope you feel better prepared to write a cover letter. As a reminder, if you do have a question you want to hear answered in a future episode, you can submit it to careerpodcast@cod.edu. As we end here, we encourage you to join us for our next episode where we will interview a former student about how they persisted through their professional journey.